Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. How is your New Year's going, 2016? That's the question I would like to start off today. Of course, as always, I'm Matthew. Tiger cannot join us tonight, so he's doing a major install in Lawton. So I'm going to be on the show solo tonight. Of course, you can call in. Number is toll-free, 1-657-383-1506. That's toll-free, so go ahead and give us a call in. I got the chat open. Excited to talk to you tonight. So, as we're sitting at February 8th, 2016, I want to ask you, how are your goals going? Are you reaching everything that you set out to do, or have you fallen off? Have you fallen asleep? So, this really hit me today, is not only developing the habits to become successful, it's your goals and you. I woke up this morning and I was thinking, I was like, you know what? The reason why I'm not meeting my goals is because of me. And that led me into a major, major thinking spell. I just started thinking and I was like, okay, how far will I go? It's up to me. You know, your family eats because it's up to you. If you make millions, it's up to you. Whether my family ends up, or if they travel, or they stay home, or they stay poor, or am I able to get my wife everything she wants? Am I able to get my kids everything I want? It's because of me. It's all up to me. Eric Thomas said, it's up to him. That's why he wears the 5950 Detroit Tigers or Lions hat every day because it's up to him. He's carrying his family on his back. And it's up to you. Honestly, it is up to you 100% to get you where you want to be. But your success depends on you, my friend. Now, whenever we think about success, we think about many factors. We think about knowing our passion, which I would like to get into. Now, how do you identify your gift? Well, what are you comfortable at? What is the one thing that you could spend hours doing and money not be an option? What's your one thing? I know my one thing is, of course, reading, podcasting, exercising. There's a whole lot of stuff. Now, success in life depends on the person you become. Not who you are, but what you are. Aristotle said that once, that your success in life determines more on the person you become. Now, if you listen to Les Brown, Jim Rohn, Brian Burchard, Eric Thomas, that's what they talk about, becoming the best person. Oprah Winfrey, becoming the best person you can possibly become. Now, let's talk about, since we're talking about success, the one thing that you need with success is self-discipline. How do you get self-discipline? Or, before we go into self-discipline, you have to have a vision first of what you want. So, as I sit and talk to you, let's talk about how to create your vision. Because you need a vision first to see where you're going and what you want, and that's when you can locate and pinpoint exactly where you want to go and what you want to be and discover your passion. So if you were to describe your life right now, your ideal life, what would you be doing? What sort of company would you be working for? What passion would you have? Mine would be to have BOS nonstop, 24/7, working on the show, and that we take off, that I work with my best friend. I'm always traveling or with my family traveling. That would probably be my ideal. That would be my ideal day. And how much money would you earn? Man, sky's the limit. Last podcast, I said take a number and multiply it by 10, and that's what you're truly worth. Now, what kind of people would you like to work with? this, think about it. What kind of person or what kind of people would you like work for you or under you, or what kind of staff would you like to have? Those things are really good factors of knowing what you want to do and where to go in life. Now, let's think about your family. Children, would you not have children? Would you have animals? Where would you live at? How would you be living? What kind of lifestyle would you have? What sort of things would you want to do with the members of your family? For me, it's travel. I love to travel. That's one big thing for me. If you had no limitations and what you could, if you could wave a magic wand to see what your career and your lifestyle, what would it be like today? What would your health be like? What would you like to weigh? How would you feel about that? What kind of, what level of health and fitness would you have from today? If you could start today and wave a magic wand, what kind of body would you have? What kind of family? What kind of career would you have? What steps could you take immediately to begin moving toward your ideal level of life? What about your finances? How much money would you have in the bank? How much money would you be earning per hour, per day, per month, per year? What kind of investments would you have? How much would that be? What's the number? And what steps are you taking to fulfill those? To me, success, the definition of success to me is being able to live your own life. That's my definition of success. It's to wake up and do whatever I would like to do with that day. I never have to worry about money ever again. Now, the reason why I haven't got there yet, I'm working my way there. But I had a lack of discipline. Man, my discipline was horrific before I got into. I've always been interested in the health field. I studied it in college, but you can refer to our other podcast. And I had a big problem with overeating. There would be some times where I could sit down and eat a whole box of donuts or four or five candy bars, or I can like binge all day. And I was just hurting myself, hurting my body. I was like, no more. I will take no more. And that was about 3 years ago. And I went from 310.6 pounds and slowly working my way there. I'm at 378, 379. And it's taken a lot. I've had to totally change my lifestyle. And, of course, I work in an industry where I preach fitness and exercise and eating right. And I don't want to be that guy. I get dirty looks all the time because I'm a little bit thicker than the norm. So, but anyways, okay. Now, here's the three things that has really propelled me and propelled Tiger, and it can really propel you, is having the knowledge, working on the skill, and doing hard work. That is what the top 1% of people in America do today. That's it. If you want to become the 1%, knowledge, hard work, and learn. Learn the skill. And the reason how you do that is just follow people that's already done it. Now, if you're like me, you started from nothing. But most of the first generation millionaires came from nothing. They came from little or nothing. They earned everything they own currently in life. Now, the key to all of this is hard work. Now, hard work and self-discipline, success is possible, my friends. Hard work and discipline equals success. Now, when you can overcome adversity, negative self-talk, that's when you really get to know yourself. And success is no accident. Now, failure is not an accident either. You succeed when you do what other successful people do. If you listen to Tony Robbins, he preaches on that a lot. He talks about whenever you get on the shoulders of giants, that's when you can see the farthest. And that's what Tai Lopez always talks about. He always talks about reading other people's books. Les Brown talks about it. Jim Rohn talks about it. Jim Rohn said, that a book can literally save your life. If you're in a business and you pick up a book and you go through here and you read what they did wrong and you try not to make those mistakes, that could have saved 5 years off of your company, 5 to 10 years off of your company. So pick up and read some books. The secret to success, I think, is it's three requirements, of course. Believe, B, learn, L, and succeed. Those are just three simple things that we tell you every night to do. But if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to pay the price. Now, the price for me was spending time away from my family, moving hundreds of miles away, being on my own, had no money, literally had, I think, $150, and I just moved. So there was either sink or swim. Spending time away from my wife, traveling, not getting to go out and party every night. That was fine. I really enjoyed that. I learned a lot from it. Because that not only got me where I am today in life, but it really made me grow. It made me grow as an individual. Now, thinking about that, that's how we really find out who we are, is stepping outside of our comfort zone, finding stuff that we enjoy, getting out, seeing people, networking. That's what it's honestly really all about. That's how we define yourself. Now, self-discipline. Now, to become stronger and a better person, your exercise of self-discipline has the power not only to affect your mind and your emotions, you into a different person. You can become all you can be. You can have more because you can become more. Now, the rule that Brian Tracy talks about is a rule that to become someone that you have never been before, you must do something that you've never done before. To me, that means that you need to develop a superior character or a superior character of yourself. You must exert every high level of self-discipline and self-mastery. So, that's just some thoughts that we were having. I had. And if you want to do a little experiment, if you want to do something at home, and ask yourself just these few questions. Why aren't you already successful? Or why aren't you as successful as you would like to be? What is one discipline that can help you achieve your goal? Now, what one skill could you develop that would help you to realize more, achieve more of your goal? So my skill was to read. I hated reading. That was absolutely the worst to me. I absolutely hated reading. But now it's a love, it's a passion. I do it daily. I absolutely love it. I could read all day. And the next question I have for you, if you were to wave a magic wand and be completely satisfied, have everything you want in your life, in one area. So we're going to wave the wand in one area. You can have one thing. You could be disciplined in one area. Which area would you have the greatest positive impact in your life? Self-discipline. Self-discipline for me. Now, as I get older, I'm starting to realize that I really need self-discipline in my education, my diet, my relationships. I need self-discipline. We all need that to keep us growing. There's a quote that I really like. It says, "If you can't control what you eat, how can you control a company? That's absolutely right. In a company, you don't have control of anything. Well, you some of it you do. You have control of the staff. You have control of a few things. But you can't control all. Now, if you can control all and control your body and what you eat, hey, it looks like we got somebody. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Sorry, I was just a little bit late. I'm on the road working in a hotel, so I thought I'd call in.
Hey, that's great, man. I was just about to wrap up. I'm glad you jumped on. So what I was talking about
is... Let's wrap up together.
No, not yet. Now that you're on. So now that we're talking about self-discipline, the quote is, fully control yourself, you can't control a company. I find that very inspiring. Because what you put, if you can't control what you put in your body, what you view, who you hang around with, what you read, and you don't take the steps to become successful, you have fully control of that. Like I said, everything you do, if you wake up in the morning right before it's time to go to work or at 4:30, that's on you. If your family eats, that's on you. If your family travels, that's on you. Your success is developed on you.
Sure.
Well, Tiger. Tiger, if you had...
Who is at the quote of that?
Matthew Waits. So, if you had a magic wand, as we're talking about right now, if you had a magic wand and you could wave it right now, area of your life, would you be most self-disciplined?
Diet now, because I told you I've had an epiphany on health. It would be diet. Mm-hmm. It would be my eating. It would be the fact, not working out, not exercise. It would be my diet. I have no motivation to lift weights. I have fun inside of a gym. Where I wish I could improve my life on the most would be my diet, what I consume. I would wave away my craving for soda and just general fried foods.
How is that going with your soda? We shouldn't be at 2.5 this week.
Today I've had one, but it's because I'm so busy. It's not because I was so disciplined. But I'm having my first as we speak.
Okay. So you're allowed 2.5 today. So if you want to drink those all this evening, that's fine. You're allowed 2.5. Now,
awesome. I love it.
People don't understand that it is. Exercise is the easiest. The diet is the hardest.
Sure,
that
I like
the
absolute
hardest.
I enjoy lifting weights. I enjoy the results of lifting weights.
I could spend hours in the gym today. Like I went this morning,
sure.
I could spend all day there. It's just the diet part that absolutely sucks.
Yeah,
because I had a friend that said, you know what? If it tastes good, then it can't be good. It's honestly good for you. So I lived by his rules, and I gained almost 70 pounds. So yeah,
that was advice I gave you. Yes. Well, that's advice I gave you when we first met. I said, Matt, if it tastes amazing, then it's got to be good for you. Because nature wouldn't trick us. Because nature looks out for us, and it wouldn't trick us.
I remember grabbing a candy bar, a Three Musketeers, and it said 75% fat-free. And he's like, hey, Matt, if you eat two of those, you'll eat over 100% fat-free. So go right ahead, my friend. I was like, oh, okay, you're right.
And I said, Matt, if you can't indulge in 150% fat-free foods, you'll never indulge in running a Fortune 500 company.
Right. I think we all should indulge. I mean, on the way home, I indulge a little bit, but not too much. But I have a sweet tooth. I crave sweet stuff. So I have.
Sure. I think we all should indulge. You know, what kind of life are you living if you were just a militant eater, if you were like every 2.5 hours or eating something healthy, and if you never rewarded yourself with flavor, you know, of things that you enjoy, that's not a life. But everything in moderation.
You'd probably have a really awesome body.
Well, see, it's an Italian thing. I can't remember. It's an Italian. The guy made it up was Italian, so it's got to be right. But he said that the 80-20 rule. You know?
Yeah.
I think that you should do the 80-20 rule. You should 20% of the time, indulge, splurge, and do whatever you want, eat whatever you want. And then 80% of the time, eat right. 20% of the time, eat whatever you like.
Right. I'm the exact same way. Like, all day, I'll eat healthy. From the time I wake up until I leave my office, probably about 4:35. And then when I get home, I have a dinner with my wife. Now, we might go out, or we might, but during that 8 to 4:35 o'clock, or, because I wake up at 5, so that 5 until 5, I'm eating healthy. And just like we preach, it's not what you do 90% of the time, it's not what you do 10% of the time, it's what you do 90% of the time that will make you successful. So, my friend, I want to talk to you. You've been so busy today.
Yeah,
I had to start the show. I had to start the show because you were busy. You sent a picture of an install. What is on your mind? How are you feeling today? It is 8:30 at night, and you're just now getting off.
I do enjoy certain aspects of this, and if I didn't say that, I would be lying. Today, I outworked the sun, my friend. Today, I outworked the sun. And that's good. It's refreshing to know and to remind myself that I have a work ethic. It feels good to be able to say, yeah, I'm not afraid to work long hours. I'm not afraid to work hard for something that I want. That's a good feeling. I know that when I own a business someday that I can put in these hours. I know that I have what it takes. Some people don't have a work ethic. And if you can work as hard as you can for something that you don't just love, that's not your passion. Maybe you like it, but it's not your passion. It's not what you saw yourself doing as a child. If you can work hard for that, when it is something that you're passionate about, you know you can do it. But some people can't even do that. Some people bark at a 12-hour shift. Some people bark at 16-hour shifts, you know? They just wouldn't do it even if it was something that they loved. Some people think that that's their free time and they're not cutting into it. It does feel good to know I can work 12 hours and not bat an eye. I feel great. I worked 12 hours today, actually 14 hours today, and I jumped right on a podcast because I love this. I love this. I love this.
No,
I love knowing that I have a work
you.
Ethic. Ooh, we do love you. You, the listeners.
I was talking about you, my friend. We love BLS Nation loves Tiger.
Ooh, I hope so. I do hope that I'm the favorite.
100%. They said, I have somebody in the chat right now. They said, Tiger Taylor is the best-looking podcast host on air. Hashtag.
Ooh, that's really good.
Godfather 2K.
Hashtag.
But I don't know.
Hashtag suck it, Brendan Schaub.
So, we missed yesterday's show. I want to give a shout-out to Peyton Manning.
We did. I didn't like that. Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I'm not sure you called it by texting me and saying, hashtag lifelong Broncos fan, LOL, you mean called it? Then you called it.
No. Before the Super Bowl started, go back on the podcast. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago I said the Broncos were going to win and Peyton Manning was going to retire.
Yeah.
Now, after saying the big shout-out, big thank you, hashtag Bronco fan forever, let's talk about what you're going to get for your wife for Valentine's Day. Since we missed yesterday's show, let's talk about that.
I don't know. I don't have. I'm open to any suggestions and ideas. What are you going to do? And I'll steal your idea.
Well,
we live far enough away, she'll never know it's the same idea.
Let me give you 5 ideas on how to impress your loved one on Valentine's Day. So, I'm taking my wife to a very nice, expensive dinner. It's our favorite place. We go there at least once every other month. It's beautiful. We love it. But here's what you can do. So, what about a homemade gift? It could be a painting. It could be a video. And in your video, you can give reasons why you're in love with that person. Or you can do something corny. You can make like a little stand-up routine about why you love your spouse or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mom, whoever's in your life that you truly love. You can go to class. So we have a place here in Topeka called Paint Therapy. You bring your own food, your own drinks, and you just paint and have a good time. You can do that. What about a spa day? Are you big on spas?
No, I'm not big on spas. I'm not. Are you?
Yeah. I'm actually going to get a massage this week, this Friday. I love it. That's how I treat myself, man. It's that deep tissue massage. We don't have any happy endings here in Topeka, so we have to stay away from that. So what about a staycation?
A staycation?
Put the kids out for the weekend. You and your wife.
Well, they're not animals.
I mean, you can treat them like they are. Just put them outside. Give them enough food and water to play around in. And you and your wife just stay in. Watch a whole season. Binge watch. Order pizza. Cook. And just stay in. Love on each other.
Watch all my. I'll watch only my favorite movies.
That's it. Yeah, because you're a selfish lover.
Yeah, we've established that.
Now,
selfish
if you're
everything
like me,
I do.
If you're like me, then you love to cook. So what about making your wife, lover, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, an amazing dinner, Hell Kitchen style? Every Friday, I get together and I make a cuisine. What would be
Hell
the one thing you would cook?
So I yell it. So I just yell at her and belittle her the whole time I'm cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Hell's Kitchen style.
That's what we do. Yeah. Each week, one of us takes a turn being Ramsay. So, mostly.
It's usually only your wife.
Yeah. Usually
you're
it is only my wife.
You're the over-emotional person trying to cook, but you're overwhelmed.
Yeah. She's like, get over here. Get over here. We need to check these scallions. And we
get over here,
check
the pasta.
Check
the pasta. You're burning the noodles over here.
Yeah.
You're burning the noodles over here.
Throws it against the wall, and she's like, get the F out. Get out. And she kicks
it out. It doesn't stick. And we know that she says the F-bomb, because if you go back a couple of episodes later, he walks in, he's like, hi, honey. And she just starts dropping the F-bomb. It was sad.
True story, man. True story.
True story. Those are true stories that I made up.
These are true stories that I lived.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no.
True story.
So, my friend, those are just some ideas that you could do for Valentine's Day.
Oh,
sure
I like
it. Comes
it.
From the heart. Make sure it comes from the heart.
Everything I does. Everything I does. What kind of English is that?
Everything
I
does.
Comes from
jeez.
The heart.
Everything
work
I
day
does
comes
you.
From the heart. A little bit, my friend. A little bit. Guess what, though? Last night, the Super Bowl was over, and I went to bed at 9:30.
Same here.
Went to bed at 9:30. I was going to say, when's the last time you went to bed at 9:30? But, of course, you do everything exactly when I do and how I do.
Yeah, I do. Because what better way to model success by looking at somebody that has... So anything you
sure,
do...
I look at Ty Lopez and do as he does, and then you look at me and do as I do.
Okay, let's talk about Ty for a minute. Mm-hmm. So on his Snapchat the other day,
okay,
I seen... where he had some, he brought some people in for a little conference, you know, and then he made them play basketball half court shot, and he was like, "Whoever makes this, I'll pay for your training, I'll pay for your flight." To me, that's just belittling, you know. Hey, I'm the king, you're the jester, you're gonna perform for me. How about that? I don't like that. What do you think? Or is that like an ice? What do you think?
It's not an icebreaker. It's too far. Make him shoot a free throw if it's an icebreaker. Half-court shot is rarely pulled off by professionals. It's usually a celebration shot. Usually when someone hits a half-court shot, everyone that's in the vicinity is like, oh, because they know that it's extremely rare. So to put someone on the spot and tell them to shoot for half-court shots, I don't understand. A three-pointer is hard enough. The reason a three-pointer is hard enough and how I know this is because they're worth 3 points. When anywhere else you shoot is only worth two. But once you get to a certain point, it's worth three. So even if you're shooting a half court, that's not like a 10-point shot. It's still 3 points. It's not an acceptable place to shoot a basketball. If Steph Curry or LeBron James only shot from the half court, no one would pass them the ball. Let's say that, you know, LeBron's at the top of the key and he starts to rush down the line and someone throws him an alley-oop, except he catches the alley-oop, lands back on his feet, and then runs to half court, turns around, and shoots. No one would pass him the ball. So those shots are, I don't understand why he was doing that. I don't like that he did that. Maybe if he was on here to defend himself or give a motive for it. But for one, it's not even a real basketball shot. It's more of a trick shot or a fun shot when it's made. But it's not skill. It's not accuracy. It's someone just chunking a ball. So, I don't know. I don't know why he did that. I don't like that he did that. I missed that he did that, but I don't like that he did that. And then saying, I will pay for whoever makes this shot, you're making it a competition now. People are competitive. Some people don't like to fail. You know, when you pay for these retreats and you're paying $3,000 to meet with Ty Lopez and to spend an afternoon with him to learn, you want your confidence high. Because that's when we learn the most. When we feel good, our confidence is high. We're open to learning. And whenever you make someone feel bad for something that they did and humiliated, they're going to be closed off. And then they're going to be closed off the entire trip there. So, yeah, I think that's
right.
It's awful. I don't like that he did that.
Yeah, seen it on the Snapchat, and I watched it, and I was like, wow, what a D-bag. But then again, he said some other stuff that I really liked, and I just throw away what I didn't like of him being a D-bag that day. Because I'm just like, really, are you serious? You're going to make me compete? Oh, which, of course, business is about competing. But I'm like, I'm not going to get out here and perform for you. I'll just
now, see, if
that.
He invited me to his house, if he invited me to his house and he told me to perform, I would. I'd be your dancing monkey. Whatever it takes for you to like me, I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If I need to sit there all day and make and throw granny shots from half court for you to be my friend, well, my friend, we got a long day ahead of us.
Well, is that getting you? Do you think that's getting them anywhere?
No. Listen, here, I have a better question for you, and I want you to answer as honest as you will on this live show. Do you think being there and paying $3,000 to meet Ty Lopez is really getting them anywhere?
I don't think so. But then again, it could possibly get them to network with each other and expand their brand. Just like we had the talk today that I want to start a club here in Topeka, Lawrence, in Kansas City, while you start one, a different chapter, in Tahlequah. Now,
yes.
If we went somewhere else, we can network and be like, hey, it'd be great if you started this in Omaha or you started this in Dallas or San Francisco or Los Angeles. And then maybe that's the only reason I would go is to network and see if I can meet people, like-minded people, or learn from Ty Lopez a few things.
Sure.
Now, I had somebody tell me the other day that with all these books, and all this stuff that I've seen, Ty Lopez bought $400-some-odd worth of books the other night. Well, this gentleman told me, he's like, books are just books. Books are just words until you put them into action. Tiger Taylor,
sure.
Great man, told me that one time. Now, what do you think is his thoughts about buying all these books?
I don't know. I think it's a show. Let me tell you something. My grandmother and my father-in-law, the woman that raised me read a book a day. And I don't care what anyone thinks. If they're like, no, she didn't. Yes, she did. She read a book a day since she was 19 years old. Now, she didn't read biographies. She didn't read, you know, self-help books. She read everything. She read whatever she could get her hands on. Sometimes it was a biography, but most of the time it was Harlequin romance novels.
Mm.
But she used to buy, she'd go to Walmart and buy every single one of them. She'd go to the library. At one point, she had read over half the books at Tahlequah Library just because she would read. I mean, she read Michael Jordan biographies. I mean, she read a book a day. It's not a joke. My father-in-law does the same thing. He reads Westerns. And he reads, things that, like, I can't think, it's called, like, True Life from a Deer Stand, and it's wrote by a preacher. Like, he's read stuff like that, but he reads a book a day.
Yeah, how do we get to read a book a day?
He reads Tom Clancy books. He reads, you know, just things like that, murder mysteries, police books, detective books. He reads those kind of things. It's not self-help. So I don't know. I don't know how we get to read a book a day. Practice? But, you know, they grew up in a time, my father-in-law is 65 years old. My mother, who just passed away, was 85. They grew up in a time when they didn't really have television. My grandmother's, you know, my mother. But for him, he had crappy TV. You know, when he grew up, they didn't have DirecTV. They didn't have Cox cable package. They didn't have the internet. So when they were bored, they couldn't just be like, you know what, I'm going to stream in demand on Netflix. Hey, I'm going to pop in a Blu-ray. I mean, they were like black and white watching Hee Haw and MASH and, you know, stuff like that. Look, man, I'm grabbing a book too.
Yeah.
I'm grabbing a book too. So I think they grew up in that time frame where it's like, I need to be entertained for several hours. So get lost in a book. The whole reason you and I started this, and we got away from it, and I remembered our original core values and one of our mission statement lines the other day after I read Lewis Howe's book, Pencils of Promise. And this is something you and I got away from. We started this podcast, and we named it Books, Life, and Stuff. And now we also call it Believe, Learn, and Succeed. But we started Books, Life, and Stuff to hopefully turn it into a nonprofit organization so children around the world, not America, around the world, regain their love for the lost art of reading. You and I started this podcast to motivate people to read, and we've gotten away from that a little bit because now we talk about self-help, we talk about fashion, I believe one day a week needs to go back to what our original core value was, which was helping children learn to love to read, because you can learn to love something. And that is a lost art that we don't do anymore. We don't get lost in books. And, you know, you used to gripe that we're at this age where you know, information's at our fingertips. No one knows in depth, but everybody knows a little bit about everything. No one takes the time to read a full book because they'll just read a little bit, or they'll just Google whatever they need to know that's inside that book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we originally wanted to change lives and bring America back to reading. I believe that's something that we're both still passionate about. You said, how do we read a book a day? We lead by example. We motivate others to read, which forces us to read. That's how we read. You know, we should open up a clinic or somehow, if anyone on the internet knows how, please let us know. But we'd like to open up a nonprofit, one in Topeka, one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to teach underprivileged kids how to read, people who can't afford tutors. Can you do that without a teaching degree? Can we host a reading day? Come and read, come and teach kids to read to the elderly, you know, as an extracurricular thing, you know. I would love to do that, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I would love
mm-hmm.
to, because we need young kids to read. I encourage my children to read. I was encouraged to read as a kid, and I was a great reader. When did I stop reading? When I realized TV was so freaking awesome. And then the World Wide Web came into play. And who wants to pick up a book when I can Google stuff? I mean, I was on Yahoo and Dogpile and Ask Jeeves. You remember all these websites? I mean, that was my generation. I grew up not wanting to know everything. I just wanted to get on the computer. And I don't want kids today to just get on the computer. I want them to have in-depth knowledge. I want them to be able to brag. I remember being a kid and asking my friends, what's the last book you read? And we all had answers. I was obsessed with books called Fudge, and then there was Fudge-O-Mania, and then there was one more. It's about this little boy who was kind of a terror, and I really liked it. You know, he wasn't a bad kid. He was just, like, mischievous and always getting into some sort of shenanigans. But I loved it, man, and you know, it pushed me to read. It pushed the envelope for me, and that's something that I want my children to do, and I want all children across the world to do. It really sparked it up again when I read Lewis Howe's book, and he was talking about Pencils of Promise. And now if you've looked at Lewis's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, he's in, I think it's like Ghana, G-H-A-N-A, Ghana, the country, with Pencils of Promise right now. And he's working with children. And I'm like, man, that's what I want to do, but for books, life, and stuff. They're learning how to write, giving them pencils and papers, and we can go there and teach them to read. Spend time with them and let them know what it's like to fall in love with a book. You and I often get books that we think are okay. Sometimes get books that we can't stand and we don't finish them, or you find a way to finish them on a flight. And then there's sometimes we pick up a book, Matt, that we can't put down. Richest Man in Babylon was that way for me. You were like, it's an all right book, man. You're going to get a lot out of it. I got three chapters in and I binge read. I would stay up all night long. I had to work, you know, I had a normal 8-to-5 job, and I was staying up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning reading that book, and I couldn't put it down. I would be like, okay, this chapter, I'm going to stop. I got to know what's in that next chapter. I can't stop. I won't stop. And I kept reading. When's the last time you've done that? Not you, Matt, but you listening.
Oh, I was about to say, it's been a while. I was reading this Esquire the other day about style and fashion. I could not put it down. Could not.
Yeah, I love to hear that. What did you learn?
Oh, a whole bunch of stuff. Some stuff I didn't even know. And I'm excited to go over, because this book broke everything down.
Good.
Like, what shoes, what to wear it with. Just a whole bunch of stuff. I really enjoyed it. And I went to the library today to pick up some books, because I did take some stuff away from Ty. I get books on health, wealth, love, and happiness. Every time I go,
I love
make sure I get those four subjects.
About health, wealth, love, and happiness. Those four things, they sound so simple, but it's because simplicity is key. Sometimes simple is best. There's the KISS method. Have you ever heard of the KISS method?
Yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
There you go. Sometimes if you just get books about health, wealth, love, and happiness, the rest is filler. Health, wealth, love, and happiness. You know, I don't always read health, wealth, love, and happiness, but I sure do read a lot of self-help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think self-help is health, wealth, love, and happiness. I just want to live the best version of me. And I want to share the best version of myself with the world. And together, I believe Matt and I can do that with BLS. It truly is a belief system. Truly is. It is a belief system. So Tuesday, I need to say this. I'm stuck in Durant. My books are going to be mailed to my house. I ordered books on Amazon. So we can't start our book club just yet. But I did get the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So you guys have time. So we're going to be a week delayed starting that. But you guys have time. Buy the book. Follow along. It's going to be fun. I challenge you guys to tune in with us. Don't just listen to our reviews, because we really want to know your thoughts, your opinions on this book as well. So we'll keep it fun that way.
Well, is there any books that you have on you?
Yes, the only book I brought with me let me walk over there and pick it up. It's my favorite book. I just can't think of the name of it. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
I've got that
That's
book.
That's kind
too.
Of my
Let's,
book.
Yeah.
Start it?
Yeah, we can. Let's just start
okay.
that. I've got the book in my office.
Okay.
Let's just start that if you want, and we can talk about that.
Okay, that's done. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow then. Unfortunately, we're going to start that book sooner than planned, but we'll have Think and Grow Rich. This book should go by fast because there's no homework. So we might be able to bust out two chapters. We might be able to bust out two chapters.
If you don't want to do that and you want to wait on the book, that's fine. We can come up with something in between on Tuesdays and Thursdays until you get home. But that's totally up to
you. Well, that
would
be
bad. I'm giving you the option.
Well, let's go ahead and do it because I want to promote reading. And this book should go by fast because there's no homework. So it would be like Tuesday is the chapter, Wednesday's the homework. We could just say two chapters on Tuesday, two chapters on Thursday. That's four chapters a week. We would be over this book. Because there's no homework. It's not a workbook. It's just a book.
Mm-hmm.
If you love it, I really love it.
Well, I absolutely love it, my friend. Anything else you want to talk about before we call it a night? Since you worked all day, I want you to get some rest.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I still got to go to dinner with everybody. I came back and said that I had some stuff I needed to do. I had prior engagements promised. And I wanted to come on for you guys. I don't like to miss. I don't like to make Matt do the show by himself either. I know how tongue-twisted you can get trying to talk and get a point across without someone to bounce things back from. So I wanted to come through for Matt. I wanted to come through for you guys. But I want Matt to really think about what I said about our original values and part of our original mission statement about books. And bringing it back, bring back the lost art of reading is what I said in the beginning. Reading is a lost art. People don't do it anymore. The only people that do it are 45 or 50 and above. It's not something that our parents' generation and our generation really did. It got out of our hands. Really, it's 40 and below. If you had the internet while you were a teenager, then you've given up on reading. I mean, it's just that simple. Nobody reads.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing people read that I know that are in my life that are readers, they read the Bible. But they don't read anything else. That's it. I feel like there's so much knowledge and so much to gain from books.
And I'm more than happy to step outside the self-help and read any kind of book. Any kind of book. I'm talking about philosophy books, inner peace books, space books, anything.
Yeah, but the inner peace and philosophy goes in with self-worth, love, and happiness, in my opinion. Because in philosophy, there's a lot of happiness.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my book collection. I just started rambling off stuff.
Oh, see, I love it. I love it. I love that you have more. Listen, I love that you have more than just self-help. Because if it's not self-help, I don't have. One of the books that I need to buy is Siddhartha. And that was suggested to me by a good friend that I will have on the show soon, I promise. But he suggested Siddhartha, and I do want to read it. It's on my bucket list of books, to be in fact. So, man, that's all I got for tonight, buddy, to be honest.
Hey, I love it. We've been on for almost an hour. So just send us off. Tell us what BLS stands for. And, of course, everybody, we're going to start back to our mission statement of reading books again. I love it.
You know what, Matt? I don't have a quote ready because I jumped on. Can you do the quote and I'll close us out?
Quote? Yeah,
you're a quote.
Quote.
You're the king of quotes.
Yeah.
You're the quote.
This is not. This is not so much a quote, but
I love
now my statement here. My statement to you, everybody, is that you are much more than you are now. Let me say that again. You are much more than you are now. Push yourself.
You are much more than you are now. I like that. You are much more. You're not giving it your 100%. I don't care who you are. No one gives it their 100%. You are more. You deserve more than what you are now. Guys, believe. That's one thing that I think we all fall short in is belief. Belief in anything, really. What's the last thing you passionately believed in? I don't know. I'll tell you who believed in themselves last night. Peyton Manning and Cam Newton. They both had a belief, but at one point you see where someone breaks. You see where the belief starts to slip. You see where someone stopped believing. And you saw where someone kept that belief. Someone kept believing. In the face of all adversity, 39 years old, he kept believing. And he succeeded. He succeeded because of his belief. Second, guys, I need you to learn. I need you to learn about anything you're passionate about. Health, wealth, love, and happiness. Learn those four things. One of those four. If you could learn a little about three and master one, you're living a pretty good life. Even any of those, you're living a great life. If you fell in love with health and you just knew a little bit about wealth, love, and happiness, but your health was, you were a master at, you're living a great life. If you master wealth, you're living a great life. If you master happiness, oh my gosh, that's the best life ever, right? Love and happiness, that's what this whole game is about. You know, master love, wealth, happiness, and health. Master any one of those. Learn as much as you can about the other three. Apply it with your belief in yourself and belief in whatever you're learning. And there's no way you cannot succeed. Failure is not an option. When you believe in what you're doing and you learn as much as you can and you make it a passion, there's no stopping you. Failure is not an option, and success is. Tomorrow, we will review two chapters in Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Let's change some lives out there. Those of you who are listening, grab a book. Grab this book. This book is amazing. I told you guys a minute ago, I've read this book before, but it's my go-to book. When I don't have a new book, I reread this one. Every time I read it, there's more gems. Until Tuesday, guys, keep believing, keep learning, and keep succeeding. We're out.